The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, May 8th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be the opening day of the Patients Out of Time Conference here in Portland, Oregon. I'm sad that I'm unable to cover it this weekend. Just got too much to do and not enough money to do it. But our good friend Doug McVeigh from Drug Policy Facts, one of the podcasts that we replay between 10 and 2 every day here on 420 Radio, Doug McVeigh is out there, so if you follow his Twitter feed, at Doug McVeigh, you can get the latest updates and pictures from what's going on with Patients Out of Time. We're also going to be interviewing some of the people from Patients Out of Time Conference on future shows here at the Russ Belville Show. But today, we are keeping track of the news here in the United States and elsewhere, including across the pond over in jolly old England, where our good friend Greg DeHoat with Normal UK and the UK Cannabis Social Clubs will be joining us at half past. It's 11:30 p.m. his time. He'll be joining us to tell us what went down at 4:20, or I guess it would be 24 out there in England. But what went down on the 4:20 holiday in Hyde Park in London and all across the UK as Britons stood up for the legalization of cannabis. Also on the show today, we got a radical rant inspired by a friend of mine named Lynette Shaw. She opened one of the first medical marijuana dispensaries after California passed the Compassionate Use Act. She worked with the local city, county, and state officials to make sure it was all on the up and up. And what did she get for her all of her hard work? A lifetime ban from being in the legal marijuana industry. We'll talk about that in the radical rant and ask, why do we ban the best medical marijuana growers from being legal medical marijuana growers? Also today, in Behind the Headlines, I learned a whole lot today about a little town called White Clay, Nebraska. It was brought up in a story that I found where a Nebraska sheriff was complaining about all the people from Colorado he's having to catch and imprison for their bringing marijuana across the state lines. We'll show you just how big a hypocrites they grow out there in Nebraska with this story. We've also got our Daily Toker Tunes for Groovin' Thursday. Chuck Diesel will be calling in. He's got us some music today from Kid Cudi. And then right after this first break, we get into the 420 Radio News. It's got a new poll from Fairleigh Dickinson University and four stories out of Colorado. So stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. A new poll from Fairleigh Dickinson University and Public Mind is the latest to reveal majority support for legalizing marijuana nationwide. 50% of Americans support legalizing marijuana use, according to the poll, with support highest among Democrats and the young, as usual. 63% of Democrats versus 32% of Republicans favored legalization. 65% of millennials, those between 18 and 34, and 56% of Generation X, people between 35 and 50, also favor legalization, while only 48% of the baby boomers, aged 50 to 64, and just 36% of the greatest generation, over age 65, would end marijuana prohibition. Awareness of the legalization issue is strongly in the public's mind, with 86% of the poll respondents saying they've heard or read about legalization efforts in Colorado, Washington, and elsewhere. Krista Jenkins, the poll's director and a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson University, said, quote, "The age differences we're seeing suggest that legal pot smoking in the future is more a question of when rather than if." On the final day of the legislative session, Colorado lawmakers approved a plan to create a system of financial co-ops to serve the marijuana industry. Representative Jonathan Singer, the chief sponsor of the measure, said the so-called cannabis credit co-ops are, quote, "the final piece to our pot puzzle," end quote, referring to the lack of checking, credit, payment processing, and loan services denied to state legal marijuana businesses due to federal banking regulations prohibiting money laundering for drug sales. The co-ops would operate like credit unions, but without a deposit insurance requirement. Checking and credit card services would have to be approved by the Federal Reserve, which may balk without the deposit insurance requirement. The Obama administration in February issued guidelines to allow banks to work with marijuana businesses, but absent actual protection from prosecution under a new administration, banks have been reticent to participate in the marijuana industry. The bill awaits Governor Hickenlooper's signature. A plan by the Colorado Symphony Orchestra to perform a series of bring-your-own-pot-friendly, classically cannabis concerts may be snuffed out by the city of Denver. The orchestra announced three fundraising concerts to be held at a local gallery that would establish a marijuana smoking lounge on its patio. Their disclaimer explained, quote, "Participant understands that attendees may use marijuana at this event, as is their right under Colorado law," end quote. The city of Denver today hand-delivered a letter to the orchestra instructing them to call off the concerts or risk violating Colorado law forbidding public pot smoking, warning, quote, We will exercise any and all options available to the city of Denver to halt the event, end quote. The orchestra believes the gallery is a private venue, but the city argues the gallery, quote, may be considered a public place under Colorado law, end quote. The letter does not address the orchestra's fourth planned event, a full symphony performance at Red Rocks Amphitheater. A new Colorado company is seeking to help veterans escape prescription pill addiction and the horrors of post-traumatic stress by giving them free marijuana. Roger Martin, an Army vet, is the man behind Operation Grow for Vets, which on Tuesday launched its website at grow4vets.org, and in one day had already signed up more than 200 vets seeking help. Veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress were strong campaigners for the legalization of marijuana, since Colorado's medical marijuana law has never included post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition. Last week, the Colorado legislature declined to add post-traumatic stress to their program, forcing veterans to remain in the recreational marijuana system that costs them extra in excise and sales taxes and limits their access to the cannabis varietals needed for their conditions. Martin, age 61, escaped an OxyContin addiction thanks to marijuana and is working with companies that are donating grow supplies, cannabis oil, and medibles for free distribution to vets. Those Colorado veterans seeking relief from post-traumatic stress and other ailments with medical marijuana breathed a huge sigh of relief Wednesday thanks to a Veterans Administration spokesperson. Dan Warvey of the Veterans Administration Eastern Colorado Healthcare System told Fox 31 Denver, quote, use of a state-approved marijuana does not disqualify a veteran for healthcare, and it will not result in any sort of retaliation or denial of services, end quote. Although we've previously reported on successful efforts by Michael Kravitz and the Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access to end the practice of denying pain meds to vets over their legal use of marijuana, vets and their advocates have long speculated that the VA, being a federal entity, does not recognize the medicinal value of marijuana and may deny coverage if vets mention their state-approved use of cannabis. Warvey's statement put many of those fears to rest as he explained how VA doctors want to know about their patients' marijuana use to avoid harmful interactions with other prescriptions. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines to look at Nebraska hypocrites complaining about Colorado weed while enabling South Dakota Indian alcoholism. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. Goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on the Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's Earlywine, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Weejicated Talk Radio, replaying Mondays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines, where a news station in Omaha, Nebraska ran a story today entitled Colorado's Marijuana Sales Draining Nebraska Budget. And it seems the problem is that since Colorado legalized marijuana for adults 21 and over, people have been bringing across the border, and the Nebraska police can't keep up with it. So break out the world's tiniest violin for some sob stories here. Sheriff Adam Hayward from Dual County, Nebraska said, quote,
We have had a significant increase in the amount of cases and incidences with marijuana coming across from Colorado. One in every five cars we're now finding something in there. And we're paying for them to be housed. He says they've caught a year's worth of violators in just 4 months. We're paying for them to be fed. We're paying for their medical expenses, which a lot of them have. And even though a lot of them have money to buy drugs, they don't have money to pay for an attorney. Therefore, the county has to pay for the public defender.
Well, okay. Yeah, we can afford a $60 eighth in the pot shop. That doesn't mean we can afford a criminal defense attorney at, what, $200, $300 an hour. But anyway, what I want to know is, I'm supposed to be sad that busting adults with personal amounts of marijuana is busting your county law enforcement budget? Cry me a river. But then I did some research based on a comment from someone that I saw in the in one of these stories, and it taught me a great lesson about Nebraska hypocrisy. It's just amazing. Have you ever heard of a tiny town called White Clay, Nebraska? White Clay, Nebraska is population 10. 10 people live in White Clay, Nebraska, but it holds the distinction of being the U.S. town with the greatest beer sales per capita of any American town. This town of 10 has four licensed off-sale beer stores that sold 3.6 million cans of beer in 2013. It's about 10,000 cans of beer a day. So how is that possible? Well, you see, White Clay, Nebraska lies on the northern Nebraska border with South Dakota, where it directly abuts the Oglala Sioux Indian Nation on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And the Pine Ridge Reservation has maintained alcohol prohibition, both sale and possession, since its creation in 1889. Now, illegal whiskey peddlers had already been pushing alcohol to the Lakota Indians, and alcoholism was already devastating their nation when President Arthur began forming the Pine Ridge Reservation. And in 1882, he designated a 50-square-mile extension south of Pine Ridge into Nebraska. And in 1889, Congress codified that as a dry buffer zone, a 50-square-mile buffer zone that encompassed White Clay as part of the South Dakota Indian Reservation. But in 1904, liquor lobbyists convinced President Teddy Roosevelt to use an executive order to open up 49 of those 50 square miles to a land grab by white settlers over the objections of the federal Indian agent, over the objections of the Lakota elders. Soon enough, White Clay became the home of bootleggers that would serve the Lakota, who could easily walk across the border and get some liquor. By 1950, Nebraska had licensed two bars in White Clay, and since the 1970s, Nebraska has licensed four businesses in this town of 10 to sell beer to be taken off site. Now, Lakota activists have repeatedly called on president after president to reverse the executive order, which many of them think isn't technically legal in the first place, but to no avail. The governor of Nebraska, David Heineman, has said, well, there's nothing he can do about it since most of the people purchasing White Clay's alcohol are from South Dakota. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he could direct his state liquor licensing officials to no longer license off-sale beer stores to towns with, oh, I don't know, more alcoholics passed out on the streets in the morning than actual residents. But then Nebraska wouldn't pull in $350,000 to $400,000 a year in alcohol taxes from tiny little White Clay alone. As for the Lakota on the Pine Ridge Reservation, alcoholism affects an estimated 80% of their households, 60% of their individuals, and nearly one quarter of the babies born on the reservation suffer from fetal alcohol syndrome. Now, this isn't a call for alcohol prohibition. If anything, White Clay demonstrates how prohibition always fails. And Pine Ridge itself voted to end that alcohol prohibition last year. But Nebraska can't complain that Colorado's messing up their marijuana prohibition while Nebraska is openly flouting the Lakota Nation's alcohol prohibition. Besides, unlike a beer store in White Clay, some pot shop selling on the Colorado-Nebraska border isn't fostering domestic violence, dangerous roads, cirrhosis of the liver, and birth defects. Going to be posting this one up on hightimes.com with links to all of this information. It's an amazing story about the Oglala Sioux and how alcohol has devastated their nation. And Nebraska seems more than happy to help.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
You still don't get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and you are listening to 420radio.org. And we've got our new summer lineup, which means at 2, 5, and 8, there's always a music show on, AM or PM Pacific time, 2, 5, and 8. Tonight, you're going to get Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. Check that out at 5 and 8 tonight. And joining us now for our Daily Toker Tunes for Groovin' Thursday, we got our own Chuck Diesel on the line. How you doing, Chuck?
Good, Russ. How you doing?
I'm really, really good. Looking forward to the tune today.
Yeah, we've got a Kid Cudi with Just What I Am. Pretty awesome track, but I actually wanted to rewind for half a second.
Sure.
And kind of apologize for the last week at the end of that track. There was a quote I forgot about from Thomas Jefferson that I don't think holds up to scrutiny.
You're right. It's that one from, it was from the DVD Totally Baked.
Yeah.
I have seen looking at hemp from my veranda or something like that. It's not in any of the records at Monticello or any of Jefferson's archives. So it's highly doubtful that's a true quote.
Yeah, I think Dazed and Confused might have even referenced it too. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was a mistake, but oh well, it was a pretty good song.
Yeah, it was a great song. Loved it. And you're bringing us some great hip hop tunes here on our Groovin' Thursdays. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Oh, and I wanted to throw out one more thing. I am a rabid Timbers fan. I have season tickets and go to pretty much all their games.
All right.
So if you ever want to do a little segment on that, just let me know.
Well, you know, we do talk sports on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights. It's a two-hour show, and we do it in the second hour, right at the top of the second hour. So if you call in like 9 p.m. On Friday nights, that's when we start talking sports. We usually have Bacon Dan come in to talk hockey with us. We have Cousin Kenny come in to talk NASCAR. You can be our soccer guy.
Nice. It sounds good. I'll have to call in.
All right. Awesome. All right. So let's get to the tune here. This is some Kid Cudi, Just What I Am. And thanks so much, Chuck Diesel, for bringing it to us.
Yep, we'll talk to you later, Russ.
All right.
Can we turn it down? I say, ain't no music on. She said, no, that weed is loud. Nigga, we ballin'. Straight swaggin', lost heart, but I'm maintaining. I've been told that I'm amazing. Make sure keep that fire blazing. We livin'.
I need
my month, y'all. In the shopping, I had a ball. I had the ball for therapy. My strength don't think that helps at all. Whatever. That man ain't wearing these leather pants. I diagnosed my damn self. These damn pills ain't working, fam. In my spare time, punching walls, fucking up my hand. I know that shit sounds super great, but if you had my life, you'd understand. But I can't fold. Some poor soul got it way worse. We're all troubled in the world in trouble. It's scary to have a kid walk this earth. I'm what you made, God. Fuck, yes, I'm so odd. Think about all my old friends who were my friends all along. When it rains, it pours. Whiskey bottles on the 16th floors. Every day the price stays a chore. Mr. Dream with no exit doors.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420. and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
What I say, it'll recollect. Darling, your words to face. Little red carpet. You need a love that's gonna lay.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420radio.org is proud to replay Green Stream Radio with Grandma Cat, Tim Mee, and On One from Olympia, Washington. Green Stream is bringing you the latest developments in legalization in Washington State straight from the state capitol, plus on-site shows at emerging cannabis clubs and hemp fests. Catch the replays Tuesday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky roller ring, roller ring, roller ring.
Tenths left. A three wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard, good! Good! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14.
Trying to reach Greg DeHoat on the line. Not seeing him on Skype at the moment. We will try to bring him on to the next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Look in my eyes.
Well, my apologies, folks. Unable to reach Greg DeHoat from Normal UK via the Skype. It is 11:30 p.m. out there in the UK. He may have just fallen asleep on us, but that's okay. We're doing it live, and we've always got quality content for you here on the Russ Belville Show. We're just going to switch to video replay from this Saturday, the Global Cannabis March, where Paul Stanford spoke. He's the man behind the Okta and the Hemp initiatives that will legalize marijuana in Oregon in 2014, followed by our good friends Aaron Purgis, Brandon Krenzler, and their daughters Riley, and of course, Brave Michaela. So we'll start off with some Paul Stanford.
Freedom for my freedom for years and years and continues. And I can't thank Paul Stanford enough and the Cannabis Foundation. Turn them up, Paul.
Thank you, Scott. First of all, I want to say thank you to all you folks for coming out here today, showing unity for cannabis freedom. You know, we've been working to legalize cannabis for some years. We came pretty close about a year and a half ago. But it looks right now like at least one and maybe three initiatives are going to qualify for a vote. I urge you to sign all of the petitions and vote in favor of all of those. You know, I say it often, but, you know, marijuana, hemp, cannabis is the oldest and most productive crop. All archaeologists agree that cannabis was there at the founding of agriculture at least 12,000 years ago and maybe 25,000 years ago. It's the most productive crop. Produces more fuel from its seed oil and its biomass and ethanol, more fiber from its stems for canvas, rope, lace, linen, paper, and building materials, and more food from its seeds, the best protein known to man. So to take the oldest and most productive crop and to prohibit that one is evil. And we're here to protest that, to restore hemp to its rightful place in our economy. So I want to thank all of you for coming out to this slightly drizzly day. Hopefully it won't drizzle too bad. But if you look right up there where that Mark Emery sign is being held, that's the starting point of the march. So we're going to start when we come back. Congressman Earl Blumenauer will be here to give our keynote speech and a number of other speakers and music for a few hours this afternoon. Again, I want to thank you all for coming. Line up for the march and help us restore hemp.
Thank you, Paul Stanford. Really appreciate all those fine words and everything that you've done for this community. You've always been a leader, and many other leaders out there who are about to lead us in the 15th annual Global Cannabis March. All right, guys, as Paul just said, it's time. This is what we've been waiting on. So Ico's got that sign right up there. We need you guys to start getting in line. Let's start making our way up towards them. Let's start getting our smiles ready. We're going to be smiling out there in the streets. We're happy. We're not angry. This is what we do. This is what we live. This is what we believe. We want people to join us. We want to educate people. And we want to march for our rights. Guys, there's also a path. You don't have to go up the stairs there. There's a path. Single file line in the path. Let's get fired up. So many great groups. National Cannabis Coalition's here today. Parents for Pot is here today. Oregon Normal is here today. Dave Michaela!
Well, thank you all for being here today. My name is Erin, and I'm here to share with you why I think it is very important that we end the prohibition against cannabis. I am here on behalf of thousands of children in this world. For the past 2 years, our family's home, second home, has been Randall Children's Hospital here in Portland, Oregon. We have spent the majority of our time there making memories behind the halls of somewhere no child should ever have to spend a day. For the first 10 days of her diagnosis, she was very, very ill. And then we registered her for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Cannabis has given our family hope. It has given Michaela a life that no other child that lives behind these walls of these hospitals experiences. Michaela has never used a single Tylenol. She doesn't hardly use any anti-nausea drugs. She doesn't have to use antidepressants to keep her happy, and she's always laughing, smiling, and running. Without cannabis, this would not happen. Most of these children that live in our second home have feeding tubes in their noses, and they are the skinniest kids. You would never want to even see a child that skinny. They shouldn't have to experience this when a simple plan can make it so they do not have to live life in this kind of way. These children are innocent. They have done nothing to this world to do any harm. My daughter has taken cannabis oil every single day for 2 years. She has straight A's. She's in the second grade and reads at the fifth grade level. Cannabis does not harm our bodies. Cannabis heals. Prohibiting it from us is causing harm to not only adults, but to our future generation. Michaela is not the only child that I'm standing here for today. Cancer is not the only diagnosis that cannabis is just showing unbelievable results in. There are children that spend their entire life seizing, having grand mal seizures and not even functioning. These parents are going to Colorado and to Oregon, to these states that are allowing kids to use cannabis, and their children are becoming normal, going back to school, coloring pictures. How can we, as a country, allow our government to tell us that we cannot use this plant? We as people need to come together and show them what is right. And what is right is making this legal so the researchers can study it. Because if our researchers and our doctors cannot study it, we will never be able to use it, as parents and the doctors will never support us using it. We as parents want our doctors to support our journey, our missions, and what is saving our children. Some people are afraid of legalizing because they're afraid of the government control on our cannabis. Without legalization, my daughter's doctors cannot support us. And they don't. And we're treated like criminals in our hospital. When my child is the only one running and laughing down the hallway, and every parent should be accepted to use this medicine, and our doctors should be recommending it to our children. Because our children don't deserve to have feeding tubes in their noses and to starve to death in front of our very own eyes when they can take a plant and live. So that's all I have to say today in my words. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Brandon and Aaron and Brave Michaela.
I love that little girl. Brave Michaela Comstock and her family. When I first met her, she had less hair than I do. Now she's got beautiful flowing hair and a pretty pink tutu on Marijuana March Day. Girl's got more bravery than 10 of us combined. Stick around when we come back. Time for a radical rant. Why are we banning the best pot growers from being legal pot growers?
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
Uncle Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on...
Well, there's this girl on my block. Every time I see her, she asks me to get high. And every time I tell her that I'm not into that, she says all the kids are doing it. If that's true, then why doesn't she find someone else to do it with?
Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Why do we ban the best marijuana growers from the legal marijuana business? Makes no sense to me. You know, one of the maddeningly frustrating absurdities of this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs is how we treat the people who were once criminals, or I should say criminals, now that their past activities are no longer crimes. Consider the marijuana prisoners in Washington and Colorado. There will be men and women serving time, and not just federal time, but state time, for cultivating marijuana plants, processing marijuana plants, transporting marijuana plants, and selling marijuana plants as part of a commercial marijuana operation. Meanwhile, already in Colorado and soon to be in Washington, men and women will be licensed to legally cultivate marijuana plants, process marijuana plants, transport marijuana plants, and sell marijuana plants as part of a commercial marijuana operation. I mean, the irony of Eddie Lepp currently sitting in a federal prison in Colorado for doing what is now going on in countless warehouses all across Denver. Isn't that sad? Now, some people might make the argument that, well, you know, those activities were illegal in the past and those men and women need to serve their time. Why? Why? What is the purpose of their continued incarceration? To send them a message to never grow and sell marijuana again? I mean, what is the net societal gain in taxpayers funding the continued incarceration of successful illegal marijuana cultivators and sellers who could be contributing members of society paying taxes by legally cultivating and selling marijuana successfully? It's just absurd. And the further you dig into this rabbit hole, the more absurd it becomes. Did you know that almost all of the 21 medical marijuana states ban someone who has been busted for growing marijuana from becoming a medical caregiver and working in or owning a dispensary? In many cases, the person who was busted for that felony grow was growing it for personal purposes, and many of those were for personal medical purposes before there was any such thing as a medical marijuana law. So where is the logic in banning some of the best medical marijuana growers in a state from helping sick people because they were helping sick people before it was legal? Don't we want to encourage good marijuana growers to follow the law rather than forcing them to make their living illegally? Well, apparently not. I just received a press release from my friend Lynette Shaw, and if it's indication, If it's any indication, no, we don't want them to live a legal lifestyle. Now, I met Lynette Shaw many summers ago. I don't remember, but it was at one of the summer California cannabis events. Man, she was fierce and brash and ebullient, and she joined me at the desk for a podcast interview and explained about her work with the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, or MAM. Marin County, if you don't know California geography, Bay Area, north of San Francisco, very rich, right? Very liberal, very progressive. And it was one of the first medical marijuana dispensaries that was formed to help the brand new medical marijuana patients in 1997, just after California passed the Compassionate Use Act. And I remember Lynette's zeal to fight Uncle Sam on the medical marijuana issue. She had such hope and determination, and she just knew that with the right legal strategy, an eye on the Constitution, and the proper education of her elected officials, she and the rest of the Bay Area medical marijuana community could change the world, and boy, they sure did. But not without great personal cost. The feds went and attacked Lynette and MAM, Marin Alliance, with every alphabet soup agency in the drug war arsenal. The feds went after MAM's building's landlord and had it seized through civil asset forfeiture. The IRS, treating her like Al Capone, used tax law to bankrupt her. They even zeroed out her Social Security. And then the courts, to heap insult upon injury, then declared that she was banned for life from working in, consulting for, or selling to any legal cannabis business. Now, understand that for over a decade, about 15 years, Lynette was working with the city of Fairfax, California, the Marin County officials, trying to stay within California's vague state laws on medical marijuana, trying to abide by Jerry Brown's SB 420 guidelines, paying the taxes, and getting all the business licenses, and working with the officials who, to a person, all said that she was doing a great service. They had no problem with what she was doing. They supported what she was doing. She was generally considered by patients and officials and neighbors to be operating a top-notch facility, a standard bearer, if you will, for what legal, regulated medical marijuana in California could be. Well, I just saw Lynette at the most recent event, and the Lynette I saw there was humbled and contrite and cautious and weary. But even after all her work helping patients has been rewarded with personal devastation, she still keeps fighting to get back into her passion, helping sick and disabled people. So please take some time to help support Lynette Shaw in her fight to remove the lifetime injunction that is unjust and cruel, an injunction that unnecessarily burdens patients and essentially leaves her without a career. Let me read to you Lynette's press release. Founder of first licensed dispensary in nation to file for relief from federal civil injunction, Lynette Shaw, one of the founders of the medical cannabis dispensary system, has life sentence barring her from participation. Lynette Shaw created the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana in Fairfax, California in 1997. It was the first legal, licensed, registered, tax-paying medical cannabis dispensary in the country. It operated trouble-free, working closely with local police and town, county, and state officials until the federal government closed it down in December 2011. Lynette says, quote, "My top-notch legal team advises me that the time is right to seek dissolution of my federal permanent civil injunction that is cruel, unusual, and unique. I fought like a wildcat from the Delta to preserve our patients' rights for over 15 years. The feds finally crushed MAM by instituting a forfeiture action against our landlord. They set every enforcement agency against me, including the IRS. The IRS retroactively removed my tax deductions after 15 years, then zeroed out my Social Security. I am bankrupt. However, the town of Fairfax is willing to stand up for all the work I did for over 15 years. They want me back. More importantly, our members need the return of MAM. I have no husband or children, no relatives close by. The patients were my family. All I am asking is to be able to return to work for the many patients here in Marin that have nowhere to turn for medical cannabis. I deserve to be allowed to serve the community again after protecting everyone except myself from the feds and going down with the ship in the name of love and compassion. I am informed that since MAM closed, county health facilities are inundated with seriously ill patients who no longer have access to medical cannabis, which they had used successfully to treat their symptoms. As well, I am informed that there has been a proliferation of street drug dealers in Marin since MAM was closed. Of course, these drug dealers are unregulated, as are their wares. There are currently thousands of licensed dispensaries in 21 states operating successfully. My time to be freed has come. We intend to ask Judge Breyer to dissolve the injunction in the name of public interest and my constitutional rights. There is a good future in legal medical marijuana. I am interviewing potential business partners, investors, and donors who wish to see the recovery of the Marin Alliance and its time-tested and successful dispensary system. End quote. Lynette Shaw can be reached at 323-877-8420 and by email at lynette.shaw@yahoo.com. That's Lynette with two N's and two T's, lynette.shaw@yahoo.com. Any donations of much-needed legal funds can be sent directly to lead attorney Greg Anton. His phone number is 415-789-8535. You can also email greganton@saber.net, greganton@saber.net. Mr. Anton is also available for comment. And on a personal note, as I said, I've seen Lynette Shaw over the past 9 years that I've been doing events, and what the government has done to her, how they have beaten her down and taken someone who I first met as one of the fiercest, outest, most proud cannabis warriors out there and returned her to us. And I'm not going to say beaten down necessarily or tail between the legs, but severely whipped is the best way I can put it. You could just see it in her posture and her eyes while that fire still burns inside and she's still so passionately dedicated to this. It can't help but take a toll on your self-esteem, on your strength, on your will to continue. And the fact that she is still continuing and she still wants to go back and reopen the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana says volumes about her character and her want to keep on fighting in the face of this injustice and oppression. And I hope she provides some inspiration to the listeners and viewers out there to know that there are really, really good people in the movement that are fighting hard at great personal sacrifice to make these things happen, bit by bit, piece by piece, step by step. And so if you're one of those people who can't be out and proud, you've got a job, you can't let people know you smoke pot, you got to be careful, you got to take drug tests, whatever the case may be, we understand. Help support those of us who are out here fighting for this and putting our names and reputations on the line. Drop some money to Lynette Shaw if you can. Help support 420 Radio VIP memberships, 420radio.org/VIP, so we can keep bringing you these stories, so we can provide a platform for these activists who are fighting so hard. Thanks for joining us for Hour 1. Hour 2 is next. Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For all the VIPs supporting 420radio.org, thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.